Welcome to Star Wars Comics and Canon. The Force is strong with this one.
Hello there and welcome to Star Wars Comics in Canon, your guide to the wider Star Wars canon through the comic book lens. And to take you on this journey, I'm your host, Mike Burton. And so brings episode 85. So then guys, this week I am tackling something which is fairly long overdue, which is the last sort of ongoing long series of the Marvel canon comics that I haven't tackled on this show. So it is the Poe Dameron series. So I'm tackling the first volume of this series and, you know, it's sequel trilogy era stuff. It's set about 2 years before The Force Awakens. The crawl says 30 years have passed since the defeat of the evil Galactic Empire, which they would probably allude to being the Battle of Endor, obviously when the Death Star blew up and Vader and also Emperor died. But 30 years straight after that is when The Force Awakens starts. And this is about 2 years before that because it's been mentioned in reference books since then. And all of these events that are taking place, I think there's like 30 odd comics. They couldn't happen within like a few days of the start of The Force Awakens. It's all just a lead up to The Force Awakens. But I want to clarify that timeline wise. So yeah, 32 years after the Battle of Yavin. And so in the standard fashion that I do, I'm going to go through the plot details of each of these comics, mention some of the connections, give a bit of background on some of the characters, and do that usual sort of things. So before we get into the plot and other background information, let's just give you some of the personnel and information about the comics themselves. So I'm going to be tackling the first volume, which is called Black Squadron. That is put together by two story arcs. Issues 1 to 3 makes up Black Squadron, and issues 4 to 6 make up Lockdown. Issue number 1 was released April 2016, issue number 6 was released September 2016, and the trade paperback collection was released December 2016. The writer is Charles Soule, the artist, as in he did the penciling, inking, colour artistry, and also all of the cover art, was Phil Noto. Or Noto, N-O-T-O. I feel like it would be Noto, but it looks like it would be pronounced Noto. I think it's Noto. But yeah, it's just, I think he did this for another couple of comics before, and I'm just always absolutely blown away. Because not only does the artwork look really, really cool, but the fact that he does it all himself is just incredible. So I just wanted to say how cool that was. So just before I get into the crawl, a little bit of other things you may want to note. So Poe Dameron was born on Yavin 4, which is the planet that you see the Rebel base in A New Hope. And he was born there 2 years after the Battle of Yavin. So at this point in the story, he is about 30, and at the time of The Force Awakens, he's about 32. If you want more information about Poe, aside from obviously all these comics I'm going to be going through, the two major books that are about Poe's life is Resistance Reborn and Poe Dameron Free Fall. So Free Fall is about his time as a spice runner on Kijimi, which is what he talks about in brief with the character Zori in The Rise of Skywalker, and Resistance Reborn is, as the name sounds, it's set after The Last Jedi, before The Rise of Skywalker, and it's just talking about how the Resistance kind of got a lot of traction, how they kind of built themselves up for only being, you know, all those people on basically one ship at the end of The Last Jedi, and then like 6 months to a year passed, and then they had all the people they had before the final battle of The Rise of Skywalker. So I haven't personally read either of those books. I'm not that interested. I was kind of thinking about picking up Resistance Reborn, but there's not really that many sequel era books that I'm that into or that intrigued by. I'm trying to read quite a wide variety. On my Patreon, I've recorded and released my Dark Disciple review as well as Shatterpoint. Shatterpoint is a Legends novel, but both of those are set around the Clone Wars. One's about Mace Windu and one's about Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos. And I'm currently listening to the audiobook of Last Shot, which is about Lando and Han Solo after Return of the Jedi. I think it's like a couple years after that. And it has some really cool connections to Solo, A Star Wars Story, and other things. It's written by Daniel Jose Older, who's one of the High Republic authors at the moment. So I've got an Audible subscription, so I'm listening to books. I'm reading all the High Republic books physically, and I'm listening to a lot of the other books on Audible. I think my next book is either going to be Darth Plagueis or A New Dawn, and A New Dawn is the Star Wars Rebels kind of prequel-y book about Hera Syndulla and Kanan Jarrus. But I'm getting sidetracked. If you want to hear, you know, I release book reviews on this channel of the High Republic stuff, but if you want to hear the other book reviews that I've done, they are over on my Patreon, and you can support the show for as little as £1 a month over there. Links in the description, and I'll waffle about that later on. But a couple of other comics that I have tackled, which have got Poe Dameron in them, was all the way back on episode 4 of Star Wars Comics and Canons. That's 81 episodes ago. That is mental. That was the comic Shattered Empire. And although, I mean, Poe technically speaking is in it because you see a hollow of him when he's a baby, but it's about his parents, Shara Bey and Kez Dameron. They're also featuring in the Star Wars run, The Moment of Comics, so the 2020 run. They're also in from like the last quarter or so, I think, of the 2015 run of Star Wars comics before they get to Hoth and things. Kez and Shara Bey are in there as well, but they're a lot more prevalent in the 2020 run of Star Wars comics, which once again, I'm up to date with all of those things on this channel. He is also, he's got his own little comic, which is the Age of Resistance Heroes. So I tackled that in episode 56, which is when they released loads of one-shots from each character from the sequel trilogy era, some villains, some heroes, and obviously he's a hero, so I tackled that in that episode. And then also in episode 7, so once again back quite far, I tackled the Allegiance comic, which is set between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, once again, because obviously between The Force Awakens and Last Jedi is like maybe a few hours, maybe a day, if that, but it seems to be a few hours. So you can't really put any content between those two movies. You have to do it all between Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. But Allegiance was a four-part miniseries, and it's mainly about how Leia spoke to the Mon Cala people and tried to get them into the Resistance, because obviously they're very important to the Rebellion, and how Admiral Akbar's son got involved, his son called Aftab, and Admiral Akbar's first name is Gale, or Guile, G-I-A-L. So there you go, fun bit of trivia for you there. But yeah, that's a bit of background information on Poe as a person, and then also some of the other comics and stuff that he's appeared in. So with that all in mind, let's get started. So here is issue number 1, and here is the crawl. 30 years have passed since the defeat of the evil Galactic Empire, but threats of turmoil are rising. To stem the tide of the First Order, a military force aiming in secret to overthrow the New Republic, General Leia Organa has founded the Resistance Movement. Looking to expand her forces, Organa has recruited the best pilot in the galaxy, Poe Dameron. Now, with the help of his droid, BB-8, and a squadron of fighter pilots, Poe must act quickly to defeat any threat to the Republic that comes his way, no matter how deadly the risks. So with this comic, the main plot of it, the general goal, and I think it's for the whole series, is Poe Dameron trying to find Lor San Tekka. So Lor San Tekka, he's the old dude at the start of The Force Awakens, who Kylo Ren kills, and he was a friend of Luke Skywalker's. He's even in the Rise of Kylo Ren comics. He travels around the galaxy with Luke. He's like a real intrigue in the Force and Jedi and that sort of thing. I think his religion is like the Church of the Light or something along those lines, which is basically just people who worship the Jedi in some ways, but not extreme and crazy things, just like they worship them and they are followers of the light side of the Force. So Lor San Tekka is missing, basically, or he just specifically doesn't necessarily want to be found by the wrong people, and he's always moving and doing all this sort of stuff. So he's the main point of this whole story. And one of the reasons this was the last comic series I tackled was because I've never read the series before. Like, I love the author, Charles Soule. He did the Rise of Kylo Ren comic, which is my favorite miniseries. He did the 2017 Darth Vader run, which is not only my favorite Star Wars comics, but it's also probably my favorite comics, on par with some of the real great comics that I've read, but it's definitely up there among my favorite ones. So although I really like Charles Soule's work, I'm not overly fussed about hearing what Poe Dameron got up to 2 years before The Force Awakens. Obviously, when it comes to prequel stuff, it's always one of those things where if it's a mini-series, it's not too bad, because it's normally like one cool mission, and then you get to find out a bit more about the character. When it's an ongoing series, it can be a bit weak in places. Like the Darth Vader comics, obviously, they're all really, really good, but that's partly because Darth Vader is this unstoppable force, so watching him go around and just absolutely destroy people with the Force and his lightsaber and his, like, he just takes no prisoners, that's quite entertaining, because we don't get to see that in Star Wars that much. Whereas Poe Dameron, he's really cool, and I like, you know, Oscar Isaac as an actor, I love him, and the character of Poe Dameron I do like, but he is very, very similar to Han Solo. He's just not quite as snarky, really. So it's kind of like, oh, is this generation's Han Solo? It's like, right, but I wouldn't want a 30-issue series on Han Solo necessarily, but then we got a whole movie about him, so I don't know. Do I know what I want? Probably not. You know, if I specifically got everything I wanted to do with Star Wars, half the amazing content that we've got out wouldn't be there, and I'm sure we just have a lot of rubbish stuff. You know, in addition to that, like, my favourite thing about Star Wars is the Force and the lightsabers and things like that, be it dark side users or light side users. I just love the idea of the Force, and I love seeing different interpretations of that and some of the cool different things that writers can do with the Force. And although there are light elements of this, especially, I think, issue number 3, and I'll mention it when we get there, you'll be able to tell what I'm talking about, but there is like a Force-esque kind of being sort of thing. So that is somewhat interesting, but I'm just a bit worried that this whole series is going to be the case of just every volume is just going to be Poe goes somewhere to try and find something. It seems really simple. Oh, something gets in his way. What is he going to do? Oh no, they get captured. Oh then, but BBA or someone else manages to bail them out and they get what they need and fly away and then go to the next place. And it's just, if that's going to be it for the next like five volumes, I'm going to get a bit tired of it. But I am judging this before reading, you know, I try and be positive when it comes to Star Wars stuff. I do still enjoy every Star Wars comic I've read, even the worst ones are still, like, they're at least okay. None of them are bad. None of the Star Wars content I've consumed really is that bad, apart from maybe the Clone Wars movie. That was pretty rough. But yeah, I just want to clarify that I haven't actually read the issues past this. I own them all now, but I haven't actually read them all. So there will probably be the odd connection, which connects to something later on, which I won't mention because I won't know about it necessarily. Obviously, I do research and things, but I try and use most of my knowledge of Star Wars to connect certain dots and look up certain things. But, you know, we'll see about that. Enough of me sort of rambling and preamble and all that sort of stuff. Let's get into the story. So the comic starts with Poe Dameron flying his X-Wing in this cavern along with BB-8, and BB-8 is scanning things and then found a signal they're looking for, but then some nearby proximity mines get activated, they go off, Poe manages to evade them and then heads for this closing gap in front of them. Then it cuts to earlier. Now a bit of information about BB-8, everyone's favourite spherical droid, I would presume, unless people count R2 as spherical, but he's more of a cylinder to me. BB-8 was made 29 years after the Battle of Yavin, so at the point of this comic he's about 3, and at the point of The Force Awakens he's about 5 years old. He's got 6 swappable tool bay discs, so on his spherical body, there's, you know, there's a bit where the little thumbs up blowtorchy bit comes out, and there's a couple of other stuff. Apparently, there's 6 of those which are kind of interchangeable, which I thought was quite cool. And he is made by Industrial Automaton, and they've made quite a lot of droids in the Star Wars universe. They made the LOM units, which the famous Bounty Hunter Forlom is a part of, the R units, so R2-D2 and things like that, the Gonk units, you know, just the block with legs, saying Gonk, basically just a big power droid or a big memory droid. Almost like a USB stick with legs, but there are slight variations of that. The R1B medical droids, so they're just the main medical droids you see in the majority of Star Wars films, especially in the original trilogy. And then they also make a C1 series, you'd know that from Star Wars Rebels, that's what Chopper is, and then a Marksman H unit, as well as lots of other ones as well. The Marksman H unit is the training orb that you see Luke use in A New Hope. Flies in the air, spins, shoots, stun things, and he deflects it. That's a Marksman H unit. So they make quite a lot of droids that people like in the Star Wars universe. A lot of them are around the original trilogy, but obviously some of them do go back to the prequels. So it shows on the planet Dakar. Now, Dakar is in the Illenium system. It shows in the Claudia Gray novel, Lost Stars. It's in the IDW publishing miniseries, which I think is by Greg Rucka, Weapon of a Jedi, and also the book Moving Target as well. They're all generally kind of set before The Force Awakens, but it's the main base that you see in The Force Awakens. It's the base that Leia is having her operations with the Resistance. And just a bit of background, if you read the book Bloodline by Claudia Gray, which is really good, it tells you of like the politics of the galaxy sort of between the end of Return of the Jedi and before Force Awakens. It's set from just what I remember, like about halfway-ish through. I think it's about 10 to 15 years after The Force Awakens. So it's not exactly halfway. I can't remember if it was 10 or 20 years, but it's around that time. And you've got Mon Mothma. She's basically demilitarized almost the whole of the New Republic, which obviously a lot of people vote against. And the Bloodline book goes into why Leia basically started the Resistance. So it started before the First Order was necessarily a big threat, but Leia had this feeling basically that this would all happen. And it's, you know, the Resistance is basically just the Rebellion 2.0, but before the First Order take over. And so yeah, they had this whole base of operations there for several years before The Force Awakens. Anyway, so Leia and Poe are talking about the First Order, and they're comparing them to the Empire and things, and Leia says that Poe shouldn't underestimate the First Order, because although they're not the power of the Empire yet, there is always room for them to do that. But she gives him the mission to go find Lor San Tekka, who is the old bloke that I mentioned slightly earlier. And obviously I already gave a lot of background information to him, but in addition, his family, the San Tekka clan, they were responsible for a lot of the hyperspace lanes and things, and their name pops up and is quite central to certain elements of the High Republic books, which are 200 years before The Phantom Menace, so like 250, 260 years before the events of this comic. But yeah, his family have got a lot of influence, or at least had a lot of influence going back years ago. So Leia wants Poe to find Lor San Tekka to go and find Luke, because Lor San Tekka seems to know where he is, and the Empire is unaware that not only the Lor San Tekka knows this, but also doesn't know where Lor San Tekka is. I'm going to probably call him Lor going forward, just for ease, because he gets referenced quite a lot in this. But Leia tells Poe to put a team together. So he puts a team together, which he calls Black Squadron. Hey, the name of the comic. And I'm just going to go through them now. I have taken a photo as well, so you can see what they look like. You'll be able to see that on social media within a couple days of this episode dropping, or if you're already a Patreon supporter, it'll already be uploaded on there. So the first guy is someone who you actually see on screen in, I think, all of the sequel movies, and he's one of my favourite characters. His name is Snap Wexley. His real name is Temen, but everyone calls him Snap, and he is in the Aftermath trilogy books. He's actually quite central to that, because his mum is one of the central characters and things, and he was born around 11 years before the Battle of Yavin, so, you know, he's like over 40 at this point, and minor spoiler for Rise of Skywalker, but I presume anyone listening to this has probably seen the Rise of Skywalker by now. Snap is one of the only people who has like a name on screen who actually dies in the Rise of Skywalker, which is really sad for me. I was like, oh great, you know, another finale film where there's basically everyone survives and it's all very happy. But my favourite rebel pilot from the sequels, Snap, gets killed. Absolutely outrageous. Livid. I want to clarify, that's not one of the reasons why I'm I have problems with that film. That's fine as a plot device and whatever, but it still made me sad. I really like Snap. But the other members of Black Squadron, you've got Kara Kun, and she's in the book Before the Awakening, which is like three sort of shorter stories. One's about Poe, one's about Finn, and one's about Rey, and that's set before The Force Awakens. She also appears in the Rise of Skywalker Expanded Edition. You've then got L'Ulo Lampar. He is a Duros species, and he was first in the Shattered Empire comic that I mentioned earlier. He's also in the Poe Dameron book Freefall. He's also in the 2020 run of Star Wars comics as well. So he was friends with Shara Bey and Kez Dameron, Poe's parents and things. So he has appeared, especially in Charles Soule's work, quite a bit. The Duros species, they're around Star Wars quite a lot. They look like the stereotypical aliens. They've got very big eyes, no nose, you know, humanoid sort of form, but generally sort of blue skin and things. Yeah, they're around quite a lot. So you've got him, and he actually flies an A-wing as well, which is quite cool because the rest of them fly X-wings. You've then got Jess Pava. She's in the Weapon of a Jedi comic I mentioned slightly earlier, as well as in Resistance Reborn. And she's actually in The Force Awakens as well, but the actress who played her was one of the people who was in the very last stages of the interviews for playing Rey. Obviously, Daisy Ridley got it, and Daisy Ridley did an excellent job, but yeah, the person who plays Jess Pava, you actually get to see her in The Force Awakens and things, but she is in there. I mean, I think it was quite cool for them to let her be in Star Wars, but, you know, being in Star Wars for like a minor character that even I didn't really know the name of, and then getting Daisy Ridley being like the ultimate star is pretty mental. And also, apparently the interviews went on for like 6 months, which is understandable given the scale of what Star Wars is going to be, and they want to be sure. And as I said, I think they made the right decision, but yeah, fun little bit of trivia. And then the last other person in Black Squadron is Odi Muva. Now, he is an Abdenedo, and he's like that engineer basically and things. What's just quite interesting, another bit of trivia, is that all of his same species are named after Beastie Boys songs or albums. So I'm not going to go into it because there's loads of them, but basically every species, there's one that is in the sequel trilogy, there's one that is in like different bits of comic. I think, is there one in the Fallen Order game? I looked online and there's, I think, 6 or 7 of them that are all named, and their names are some kind of reference to the Beastie Boys, just because the first one was kind of as a joke, and then they've just kept it going, which I quite like that when Star Wars does that kind of silliness. But yeah, that's Black Squadron. As I said, if you want to look them up, you can either Google them or check out my social media. But yeah, back to the story. So Poe says that he can't actually tell the pilots of Black Squadron his mission because it is classified. L'Ulo is a bit annoyed by that because, you know, he's been fighting with Leia and Poe's family and things since the Battle of Endor. And after that, Black Squadron then head out. So cut back to now, and it shows that Poe finds a settlement with this giant blue egg that has been hooked up to some sort of power source. This is after he flies through those caverns and things. He communicates to Black Squadron, and he says, look, you guys stay flying up ahead and things. I'm just down here. I'm trying to find out who knows information about Lor. And so, you know, just let us know about that. And then his comm device gets shot out of his hand. Some people show up, and they seem like humans, but they seem to have black eyes. But aside from that, they don't really look much different. And Poe just puts his gun down and then shows a holo of Lor San Tekka. The leader of this group says that an explorer left long ago, referring to Lor. These people's purpose here is the safety of this egg. It'll hatch and then it'll release the galaxy's unborn savior. And Lore actually worked with them and helped them for 2 full seasons, which I couldn't fully tell if that means 2 years or if that means like a season as in, you know, 3-ish months of the year. So like half a year. So between half a year and 2 years, Lore was working with them, but he did leave quite a long time ago. So Poe like pries and goes, okay, well, where has he gone? And the settlers here, they don't trust Poe. They said, well, if you work with us for a long period of time, we'll be able to help you. And he's like, well, I don't have time for that. Is there any other thing we can sort of work out? Poe then checks something on his ship and finds that there's actually a tracker that was stuck on his ship. He pulls it out and the Elder thinks that he's got like this detonator and is threatening them and things. He confirms, no, that's not it. But as I'm being tracked here, something bad's probably coming this way. So can I help you if trouble comes this way? They agree to that and say, yeah, they'll accept his help and things to try and protect the egg. So Poe comes to Black Squadron and says, right, the First Order are going to be here soon. And they're already there. So that's where issue number one ends. Now, in issue number one, there is this like bonus story about BBA. It's called Sabotage, but it's 2 capital B's where the standard lowercase b is, you know, Sab, BB, Otage. It's one of those little things that they seem to put at the end of issue number one on quite a few new series. I think they did it with the Darth Vader one as well. It's just quite young and childish and doesn't really have much to do with anything. So I'm just going to glaze over that and go on to issue number two. So it shows a new character called Agent Terex. He is a part of the First Order. He's in like their security bureau. There was a very similar thing in the Empire, and it's just an agent, basically, without going too far into it. But this Terex guy and some stormtroopers are pursuing Poe Dameron. Terex is on a speeder bike. They get to the door that was closing that Poe managed to get through in the prior comic, and they can't get through it, so they decide to blow it apart. So they enter the room where the egg is, and Terex says that the egg is incredible. And he says, look, I'm not here to hurt you or your egg, I'm just here for Poe Dameron. It then cuts to earlier on and shows on a ship called the Carrion Spike. Now, I've mentioned the Carrion Spike before because it was actually the personal starship of Wilhuff Tarkin. And it was first mentioned in the Tarkin novel. It's seen in the Clone Wars, Cat and Mouse. Well, there's a ship very, very similar to it. Seen, I think the ship might then later get modified to become the Carrion Spike. But then the Carrion Spike does appear in a few other comics and things. I'm fairly certain that it appears in one of the Star Wars 2020 issues, because it's the one where sort of the Will of Tarkin, where one of Tarkin's proteges kind of, it does like a flashbacky thing with her name is Commander Zara, and her like interacting with Tarkin over her career and things. I'm fairly sure you get to see the Carrion Spike in that. And yeah, it's mentioned in other books and stuff, but it's basically a corvette is the type. It is an IPV-2C stealth corvette is the name of it. And yeah, it's very pointy at the end. And that'll come into something a little bit later on in this comic. Aha. But yeah, on the Carrion Spike, you've got Terex. He's drinking brandy. He's talking to Phasma over the comms. Obviously, Phasma is quite a big character in the sequels. And I would really recommend people going on YouTube and type in Phasma death deleted scene. And in The Last Jedi, there's like an extended version of it. And I think it's so much better than what we got in The Last Jedi, annoyingly. That was one of the worst things about The Last Jedi, I'd find. It was, yeah, Phasma just did not do well in that at all. But I did give a lot of bio information on Phasma in episode 5 of Star Wars Comics and Canon, where I tackled her mini-series, which explains how she escaped Starkiller Base and how she is alive in The Last Jedi. And then also in the Age of Resistance Villains episode that I did, that was episode 52, I give more Phasma bio information on that. There's also a Phasma book by Delia Dawson as well, which goes into even more detail about how she got involved with the First Order and all that sort of stuff. I think you get to find out about her armor as well, which is made out of Palpatine's old pleasure yacht, but I go into all of that in sort of other things. Phasma's barely in this, so I'm not going to go into a huge spiel about her there, but yeah, Terex is talking to her. They discuss the Empire and then Poe, and Terex has got really good sources because he knows everything that Phasma's basically about to tell him and stuff, and he even knows about Starkiller Base, which is incredibly classified. Phasma then mentions that Poe interrupted some information that the First Order were getting from an informant of theirs, which was a senator. That is actually mentioned in the Before the Awakening book by Greg Rucka, which I mentioned prior. And so Phasma wants Terex to go and get Poe to extract this information, basically, or just kill him. So it cuts back to now and shows that Terex is questioning the Elder, who says they don't know about Poe Dameron being there. The First Order find the tracker on the floor and confirm that this Elder woman is actually lying to them. While he is quietly hiding, Poe asks Black Squadron to get some leverage. So fly around up there, see if you can get anything to try and allow them to bargain with Terex and do it on the down low. So they're all in X-Wings apart from Lulo, who is in an A-Wing, and there's this landing pad nearby that's a First Order landing pad, so they try and fly near it, and the First Order are told not really to engage unless they're attacked, and the New Republic rules are saying don't attack the First Order unless they attack you first, because it's like a Cold War in a way, because they don't want to have a full-on fight, because if that happens and more reinforcements get in, it's just going to be an all-out war. So Lulo is flying close, they're not really paying any attention, so he does something fairly reckless and then shoots part of the landing pad. He doesn't kill anyone or destroy any ships, it just does a bit of scorching damage to the landing pad, but that gets their attention, and so the TIEs get launched and pursue them. So back in the cave, it's got Terex who's threatening this egg. Poe then comes out of hiding and says that he's got some leverage, that Black Squadron have got some for him. He cuts up to Black Squadron and shows that after damaging the landing pad, it actually starts to fall, and then it seals the entrance to the cave. So they are stuck in, and also there isn't any leverage, and now there's a whole firefight going on up there. Terex says that Poe is not cooperating, so he's got some flame troopers with him and tells them to burn this egg. The Elders obviously don't want this to happen, and Terex then also confirms that he arrived on a Star Destroyer, which have got many, many TIE fighters. So he has the upper hand. It doesn't matter what leverage Poe thinks he has, Terex has outthought him in all these ways, and the issue ends with him saying, "So let's talk." So kicking off issue number 3, which is the end of this little story arc of Black Squadron. So Poe asks Terex what he actually wants, and Terex confirms that he wants the data that the Senator was giving to them from the Before the Awakening thing I mentioned before. Terex feels like because they paid for it, they are owed it, even though obviously that Senator person was actually stealing information from the Resistance and the New Republic, but still. Meanwhile, back with Black Squadron, they are trying to outmaneuver some TIE fighters, they split up in some canyons and fly around and things like that, and back to the cave, the eggs now cracking open. This giant blue winged humanoid beast comes out. At an estimation, I'd say it's probably about 30 foot tall. It's like this tealy sort of colour, kind of like a bluey pepperminty sort of colour. It's got like white eyes and things, giant wings. It then screeches incredibly loudly and then just swipes loads of people out the way, primarily these villagers that are living in this cave. In the commotion, Poe then swings for Terex, and Terex then hits him down on the ground. Terex makes some sort of snide comment about it, but then Poe shows that he actually wasn't trying to hit Terex, he actually got his blaster out of his belt. So he aims this at Terex, and then meanwhile with Black Squadron, they are taking out some TIE fighters and things, but they are taking damage and they can't last in these caverns forever. You know, TIE fighters are slowly gaining on the X-Wings because they can take corners a bit quicker and things, so they are starting to lose. So the squad decide to get out of the caverns and things and to all fight together and things. And you get to see that Snap Wexley and Kara Kun seem to have like a little thing going on, but that's only a line or two of dialogue and we'll revisit that later. So back in the cave, that beast thing then fully starts to attack all the people down there. You've got these stormtroopers that are shooting at it, but the blasters are just not damaging it, and then the Elder gets picked up by that blue-white beast thing. The beast thing looks like it's about to take a bite out of the Elder, and she's panicking, going, you know, what's happening and things. And then suddenly, a beast which is of basically the same size, looks basically the same, but is black but with red eyes, then attacks this blue beast. Terex and Poe are then tussling and fighting each other, and the beasts seem to both be growing the more they're getting shot on things. And in the middle of this tussle, Terex notes that Poe must need something here, and he probably hasn't got it, which is why he was lingering around. So Terex said he can just kill Poe, he doesn't need that information from him anymore, he's just going to try and get the information that Poe was trying to get down there. So these tussling beasts, it reminds me quite a lot of sort of Godzilla and Mothra and that sort of things. They're like fighting each other and then they both fly up in the air. They go through the roof of this cave system and things, but then lots of rocks fall and start crushing stormtroopers. I just want to note here that this is another little thing that annoyed me about Rise of Skywalker, is that when the stormtroopers fly, they jump off the jetpack and things, and both Poe and Finn, I think, go, oh, what, they fly now? And they've got jetpacks and stuff. Multiple times in the Star Wars canon can both normal stormtroopers fly, but also First Order stormtroopers can fly. They've got jetpacks and things. Like, having a jetpack on a soldier is nothing new. They literally had them in the Clone Wars. So that bit annoyed me a little bit, considering, especially when you read comics like this, where Poe literally is against some of these First Order stormtroopers that have got jetpacks. In fact, they're the ones that get crushed by the ceiling caving in, because obviously the rocks fall and hit them, and everyone else on the ground kind of somewhat has a bit of warning to be able to move out of the way of these giant falling rocks. But yeah, I just want to flag that, because that annoys me a little bit. Not that it's in this comic, to clarify, because obviously this comic was out far before The Rise of Skywalker, more so that The Rise of Skywalker was like, hey, look, we've done something new. And it's like, no, you haven't. They've been about for quite a long time. Anyway, back to issue 3. So Terex then gets stunned by BB-8, and the beasts are now flying in the air around where Black Squadron is fighting the TIE fighters, and they are seemingly destroying quite a lot of these TIE fighters. So Black Squadron uses this opportunity to fly through the hole that was created by these giant beasts and things, and they go into that cave. Then in a very, very cool panel, the Black Beast manages to get its hands around the neck of the Blue Beast and then shoots this giant red energy beam thing out of its mouth, much like Godzilla, straight through the chest of this Blue Beast and kills it. It then shows that after Black Squadron managed to fly into the cave and after lots of rocks from the ceiling killed a lot of the stormtroopers down there, that Terex and the stormtroopers are now arrested. So the Elder and the group thank Poe for helping and whatnot, give him some information and stuff, and then get on this Black Beast thing. They all climb onto its back, and then it just flies away, and they're apparently going to find somewhere safe in the universe. I don't know how that would work. I can't fully understand how the beast would fly into space, and they wouldn't either burn up in the atmosphere or have a lack of air or something, or if the beast is just going to fly to the other side of the planet. I don't really know. From what I can tell, it never gets mentioned in Star Wars ever again, so let's just assume they fly into this other world and have a lovely life together, this gigantic 30-foot Godzilla Mothra beast thing and this handful of like 20 to 30 villagers. And where this comic starts to end is that Poe and Black Squadron are trying to discuss what to do with Terex. They don't want to kill him and the stormtroopers, because if that happens, then there'll probably be a retaliation by the First Order Star Destroyer that's in orbit, and then it would destroy a lot of this planet and things, which they don't want. They don't want to start another war or anything like that. So they agree they're just going to leave Terex down there with the stormtroopers, and they're going to fly past the Star Destroyer, send them a message and say, your people are down there, and then just leave. And that is exactly what Black Squadron do. And the final panel of this comic shows the Black Squadron leave this planet that they are on, and they head to go and try and find Lor San Tekka at a prison. So that's issue number 3 done, and that is the first sort of story arc done of this element. So we move on to the Lockdown 3-part story arc, starting with issue number 4. So issue 4 starts with Poe being held upside down by Gracchus the Hutt, who is asking him to do a deal, and Poe Dameron accepts. Now, Gracchus the Hutt is actually someone who appears quite a bit in Star Wars. He seems to, mainly in the comics and things. Obviously, he is a Hutt, so you know he's a giant slug-looking thing. And he has 12 cybernetic legs, which makes him a little bit different to most of the Hutts and things. And I want to clarify, they're not like human legs. God, that'd be terrifying. They're kind of like metallic, almost like millipede-y kind of legs. It's a slug, but with legs. Imagine how that would look. So Gracchus' full name is Gracchus Jahibakti Tingi. And he is an artifact collector. He loves those sort of things. And he first appeared all the way back in episode 13 of Star Wars Comics in Canon, which was in the second volume of the 2015 run of Star Wars comics, which was called Showdown on Smuggler's Moon. He was like a main antagonist in that, and Luke approaches him and sees his crazy collection of holocrons and all kinds of other stuff in there as well. But then he also appears in my second episode of Star Wars Comics in Canon, which is the Darth Maul comics. So there's a Darth Maul miniseries, and there's a point where Darth Maul goes to an auction to try and purchase a Jedi Padawan, and Gracchus is there. And in addition to those, he also appears in issues 34 and 35 of Star Wars the 2015 run, which is episode 40. So if you want more background information on what Gracchus has been up to, and you don't want to look it up, you want to hear me talk about it, check out episode 2, 13 and 40. But however, I will say, I think in episode 2, I can't really remember mentioning Gracchus the Hutt that much. And back in episode 2, that was me doing this big old Darth Maul talk, which was going through the Age of Republic Darth Maul comic, the 5-part miniseries of Darth Maul, the Son of Dathomir comic as well, and then also a Legends comic, which I do mention in the episode. It's a Legends comic, but it's one of those ones where it's kind of like, it probably could be canon. But basically in that episode, I talk about how Darth Maul survived, and I give some very broad strokes on those comics and things. So I don't think I give a huge amount of detail onto Gracchus, but they're really cool comics. And if you want to hear a lot about Darth Maul, check out that episode. So all that stuff with Gracchus, that was kind of in modern day now, and then it goes back to earlier. So back earlier on Dakar, Black Squadron and Poe are celebrating because they've got what they think might be the location of someone who would know where Lor San Tekka is, and Poe quietly asks Lulo to not engage the First Order first. He knows that sometimes it can be necessary, but he says that we need to show the New Republic that the First Order are a real threat, but we can't just attack them and speed up a war that's inevitably going to happen. shows that Snap and Cara Coon have another moment. They are clearly dating and things, and it's getting more and more loved up between the two of them, which is nice. And you've got Jess and Oddie talking about the speed increase in Jess's ship and things, and Oddie is saying that he wants to be flying. He is a good pilot and stuff. And Jess is like, you are undoubtedly a good pilot, but you're such a phenomenal engineer, and the fact that we don't actually have enough ships at the moment, really, to be able to spread them out, you're just much better where you are now, but I'm sure you'll be able to fly at some point. So Poe confirms that Leia and C-3PO are looking into who may have put the tracker onto his ship, which is obviously how Terex found him and things, and Poe is adamant that it wouldn't be anyone in Black Squadron because he trusts all of them. It's confirmed that Lor San Tekka went and spoke to Gracchus, who is in this prison. And Gracchus has been in this prison since the days of the Empire, which is tackled in those Star Wars comics that I mentioned a minute ago, and so Black Squadron all head to this prison. They meet the warden, who is a Twi'lek, and the prison is called Megalox. Twi'leks, they are very similar to humans, but they have two leku coming out the top of their head, like tentacle things, and they are often green-skinned, but they're all kind of different skin colours and things. In Book of Boba Fett at the moment, you've got Jessica Biel playing one, who's like a peachy sort of colour. You've got yellow, blue, obviously blue Ayla Secura, who is one of the most popular Jedi from the Clone Wars era. She is a Twi'lek as well. So Twi'leks, Hera Syndulla from Star Wars Rebels, Twi'leks are very common, and a fun fact, they can mate with humans as well, and make babies. So I don't know what relevance that has to anything, considering Twi'leks are not a real species to our current knowledge of the universe, but if you ever come into contact one and Star Wars rules apply, there you go. So this prison is basically where Poe goes to meet this warden and things. They're on this space station, which is just outside of the planet. It's orbiting, I think, technically, but it's focused in one specific spot. I don't know if that would, technically speaking, be orbit, but it's out of the atmosphere, kind of in space. And the planet down has 10 times the normal standard gravity. And this planet that the station is above has 10 times the amount of normal, in air quotes, gravity. So this station emits a field for the prisoners, so they just self-govern. They've got this little village thing down there. They can never leave, and the warden and co. send down supplies and whatnot to these prisoners down there just to basically keep them alive. But if they exit this gravity field, then they'll basically just be crushed by their own body weight. They'll fall to the floor. If you imagine it, for example, however much you weigh, if you imagine you suddenly weighed 10 times more than that in a split second, you would just flop to the floor immediately, and over a fairly short period of time, your bones and organs would just crush you. So it's a very clever idea. I will say to Charles Saul, that's a cool idea. I think I'd quite like to see more stations like that in Star Wars. It's a pretty good idea. But anyway, Poe and Black Squadron then head down with the guards. The guards mention in passing a couple of incidents that have happened, like some of the prisoners have blasters, they managed to get off the guards, and then the guards push Black Squadron into this room, lock the door, and it shows that it's like the buffer between the station, like ground level, and where the prisoners are out in almost like the Wild West prison in a way. So it's like a glass door basically, and a little space that Black Squadron are in, and then another glass door on the other side of them. So Poe is like, but we paid you to come down here. Like, we paid you to get into this prison. It's a privately owned prison, so you can, like, buy your way in to speak to people. And he was like, yeah, but someone has paid us even more to not escort you in. So unless you have a million credits to hand, that you are going in there by yourselves. Obviously, Black Squadron do not have a million credits to spare on something like that. And then the prisoners start to slowly approach the glass door, noticing there's new meat, as it were. So Black Squadron take no time to basically, they open the door, they throw out a couple of gas canisters and then shoot their way out. I think they're using stun. I can't quite tell. They're shooting out blue bolts, so I presume it's stun. I know in the Clone Wars days that was like ion, which would be specifically damaging to droids and things, but in original trilogy and onward, when people aren't always fighting droids, I think generally speaking, blue is stun. Obviously, they don't. Although in the comics, they didn't shoot out in the weird circles, like the loops that they normally shoot out in. They shoot like actual normal blaster bolts, but yeah, whatever. So Black Squadron make their way towards Gracchus's HQ. So it's him and a bunch of Hutts. They've got this fortress, basically. Gracchus knows who Poe Dameron is and asks him to specifically be civil while he's on the grounds of the Hutt and to not break anything, no matter what he comes into contact with that might frustrate him. When Gracchus is asking Poe this, he is holding him upside down and saying, do we have a deal? Obviously, which is a throwback to the start of this issue, and Poe accepts. So Gracchus and Poe are walking through this hut sanctuary sort of thing, and there's a Rancor head on the wall, which is a nice little touch, and then it shows that Terex is actually there. Gracchus said that he'll tell the location of Lor San Tekka to whichever of Poe or Terex can actually break him out of prison. It's also confirmed that Terex and Gracchus have some sort of history, but Gracchus says, look, this is the deal, regardless of whether or not you know me very well, whichever one of you breaks me out, that's who I'm going to tell. So yeah, go have fun. So that's where issue number 4 ends, so we move on to issue number 5. So issue number 5 starts off with Terex exiting the Hutt compound, walking past Black Squadron, and then he talks in Huttese to some of the Hutts just at their gate. They open it up and he walks out. Then all of the prisoners just stand by as he walks past all of them, and Black Squadron are looking at them and going, why is he not being attacked by anyone? And Poe says to them, let's just not worry about this. Okay, we've planned for this. Okay, we knew that the Hutt would want us to break him out. So let's try and figure it out, because now it's a race. So Poe then communicates to BB-8, who's up on that station. And BB-8 rallies all the astromechs that are within the other pilot's fighters. So there's 5 of them, and go around the station. Meanwhile, it shows that Terex speaks with 3 of the crime lords in the prison. I mean, crime lords more so now just kind of gang bosses, I guess. And they are called Issin, Can B, and Papa Toren. Now, Issin and Can B, we've not seen them before, and to my knowledge, they haven't popped up since. However, Papa Toren was a name I immediately recognised, so I looked a little bit more into it. So Toren was actually first in the Lando comic, which I tackled on episode 18, Star Wars Comics and Canon, and the Lando miniseries is also written by Charles Soule. And Papa Toren also appears in the 9th and 10th issues of the Dr. Aphra comics. And I believe they were the 2016 Dr. Aphra comics, so the first run of them by Kieran Gillen. And he does actually appear in Crimson Reign number 1 as well, which is one of the sequel comics to The War of the Bounty Hunters. Because in the Star Wars, you know, I did the whole War of the Bounty Hunters thing, and then there's another set of stuff, which is Crimson Reign, and then there's going to be another one after that. So Charles Soule has got this whole big thing planned for time between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Obviously, we know now, although Toren was never massive in those comics, he's obviously going to survive, because this is decades later. But yeah, if you recognise the name much like I did, that is why. And interestingly enough, Papa Toren always has a couple of Zimpi with him. And I actually tackled Zimpi on the last episode of Comics and Canon, so episode 84. They appeared in the High Republic comic number 1. They're basically just kind of like pixies, basically. They look a lot like the pixies from Harry Potter, just small, blue-skinned flying creatures with like humanoid bodies. So Terex is speaking with these gang bosses, and he wants them to help him basically kill Poe, as well as torture the Hutt to find out the information from him and then kill the Hutt as well. And he says if they do that for him, he'll break them all out instead of breaking the Hutt out. They all agree to this, and then it cuts back to BB-8 and the other astromechs, who take down a couple of prison guards in a corridor, and then they're kind of snooping around, you know, adhering to this mysterious plan. Black Squadron are getting more and more impatient of waiting, and then they hear like a very loud noise, and you see that it seems that the Hutt compound is being attacked by the prisoners. They seem to have some sort of battering ram of some sort. Obviously, all of these prisoners are now listening to the 3 gang bosses that Terex has requested help from. Poe obviously suspects this is Terex's work and tries to speak with Gracchus, who is now inside the Hutt compound, like behind closed doors, while Poe and the Co are kind of like outside the front of the first set of doors, but not quite out with the general population. So they're just kind of half in, half out almost. Gracchus says, well, I've known Terex for a long time. I trust him. And also, if he kills you, well, that's just competition. It means that he's more likely to break me out. So tough. So back to the droids, they're seemingly doing something on the station, they're connecting into a couple of ports, as astromechs do, and then this security droid comes out. It's not a model of security droids we've ever seen before, it kind of looks a little bit like K2SO from Rogue One and things, and those security droids pop up elsewhere. I think they're RX security droids, I think, off the top of my head. But this one in particular is very big, it's much bigger than K2SO, and it has some sort of blowtorch thing for a hand, or rather, it can move its hand out of the way and has a blowtorch under it, which is quite cool. So now Black Squadron are fighting off the prisoners who have managed to get in the first doors of the compound, and as I said, the Hutts are hiding, so it's just down to Black Squadron fighting off loads of prisoners by themselves. The security droid back on the station destroys one of BB-8's friends, which is called Orion, that's O-R-1-O-N, and then stands in front of BB-8 with this sinister looking blowtorch after BB-8 got out his little blowtorch thing and this droid just laughed at him and got out the giant one. And that is where issue number 5 ends. Obviously, I skipped through quite a lot of that, but a lot of this comic was either images of either Poe and Co. fighting prisoners or BB-8 and the astromechs just kind of rolling around and going around the corridors of the space station. So with that in mind, we move on to issue number 6. So for the final issue of this volume, we start off with BB-8 shoots this plug onto the security droid that's pursuing him. While this is all happening, Black Squadron are getting surrounded and the Hutts still won't open the door. Snap has been injured a little bit. He seems to be hit in the head or something. So they're kind of panicking a little bit more and they confirm it's been hours since they heard from the droid. They're starting to lose a little bit of hope, but Poe is like, nope, we can make it through. BB-8 will pull through. So back up to BB-8, he manages to take out that security droid because the plug thing he shot onto him electrocuted the security droid and it just collapsed. So BB-8 goes back to the other astromech droids and then they send a message to Poe confirming the plan is go. So Black Squadron then activate something called gravity belts that they have. They don't appear elsewhere in Star Wars, so it's just as I'm about to explain it. They activate these gravity belts and then the droids turn off the gravity field from that space station. So Black Squadron are fine, and all the prisoners are pulled straight to the ground, including the Hutts inside their little compound, straight away at 10 times their weight, so everyone just collapses immediately. So the grav belts make this weird shiny colour around them, and obviously it just creates an artificial gravity field. So Poe goes to Gracchus inside his little compound and says, look, here you go, I've got a grav belt, spare one for you if you want to come out with us. Back up on the station, all of the people and the warden are panicking because, you know, a slicer could turn off their life support. It could do all kinds of crazy things. They're really worrying like they could all just die because, you know, if the slicer just decides to remove all oxygen in the station, they're gone. So communication goes through to the station and it's Poe. And Poe basically says, look, we're going to give you back power. We're going to let you have full control, but we're going to leave with Gracchus the Hutt. And we know that you basically allowed Terex and the First Order to pay you off so that we'd go down there. Even though we paid you to get an escort by guards, you specifically knew that we asked for that. And you allowed the First Order to outbid us to then take the guards away. So we know all about that sort of stuff. And so we won't tell anyone about this sort of thing. We'll just call it even if you let us leave with Gracchus the Hutt. So the warden does agree to that, and so they proceed as confirmed. Meanwhile, it shows that Terex, he is on the floor with some of the gang bosses and things, and he manages to reach to his belt and press a couple of buttons, and then his ship, the Carrion Spike, then comes to collect him. A little droid comes out of the ship, picks him up, and then as he gets to his own ship, then the artificial gravity field off his ship then means that he can actually stand up and stuff, and he says to the crime lords, well, you didn't help me at all, gutted, you can just stay here and die, goodbye, gets on the ship and flies away. Back on the station, it shows that the droids are reunited with Black Squadron, apart from obviously Orion, who was killed by that giant security droid thing, and Gracchus gets a ship as well, because he would be able to fit into an X-Wing. So Poe comms the warden and says, oh, we're going to take a ship as well, just let you know, and she's like, fine, just get off the station and give me back my power. So Black Squadron head out and yeah, give control back to the warden of the prison. So the warden is going to basically get them all to send supplies down to the prisoners, sort out the grav field, tend to any of the prisoners with medical attention and that sort of thing, and basically just get everyone back to speed. But the Carrion Spike, I told you it's spiky, and this is the bit I mentioned before, it's like a point, it's like an arrowhead, flies through the station, which obviously probably doesn't have that many defences, and then does a huge amount of damage. Fortunately, the staff on board, as well as the warden, managed to get onto some escape pods and things with medical supplies to go down to the prisoners to try and save them and things. And then Terex starts to shoot these escape pods that are completely defenseless. Poe and the gang are flying away. They notice this is happening, so they decide to go back and help. A First Order officer says to Terex, look, why don't we just leave this? You know, we've got 5 pilots coming towards us, including one of them's Poe Dameron. We're not going to be able to outmaneuver them in our ship. We should just leave. And Terex is like, no, we need to kill them. I will not take no for an answer. So after a few pages of the starfighters very easily outmaneuvering and shooting at the Carrion Spike, one of the First Order officers is like, look, we've lost all our shields. If they hit us a couple more times, we're all going to die. And Terex is like, fine, we'll go. Fine. And then they fly off using hyperspace. So the final panels of this comic show that Poe returns to Dakar with the location of, or locations of, where Lor San Tekka could be. But Leia says that she doesn't want him to pursue that just yet. Instead, obviously, there was a tracker on the ship, and how did Terex know to go to that prison, considering only Poe actually knew the information about that? So they've got some sort of spy or snitch or some sort of way that the First Order is finding out their information. So they need to find out what this all is before Poe goes anywhere further. And then the last thing this comic shows is that Terex is reporting to Phasma, and it confirms that he failed on basically every account. She wants him to come and debrief. He refuses, basically, and she says, if you don't come, then you'll be disciplined to extreme severity. And he just turns off the comms and sits there on his ship, staring out into space and says, maybe later. And that is where the first volume of these Poe Dameron comics ends. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Just very quickly, what's coming up. So next week, I'm going to be tackling the High Republic Adventures comics. So they're not Marvel, they are IDW Publishing. It's still canon, it's still part of the whole High Republic multimedia initiative. But instead of being written by Kevin Scott, they're actually written by Daniel Jose Older, who I mentioned slightly earlier in this podcast. And they're really, really good. So it's just going to be another High Republic thing next week. I assume a few of you are going to be quite interested in that because you can't even check them on Marvel Unlimited or anything. You have to buy the physical copies, which I have. So you get to see some of the lovely artwork and stuff with those. Obviously, as per usual, make sure you follow me on social media at Genuine Chit Chat. Please consider checking out my Patreon, patreon.com/genuinechitchat, where you will get access to the exclusive audio feed where there's Star Wars book reviews up there that aren't put up anywhere else. Me and Megan have reviewed all the Star Wars films bar The Rise of Skywalker, which we are due to do very soon as well. We've gone through, or we are going through, the Harry Potter films. We've done some MCU movies. We've done some other stuff as well that are like some indie movies, some are TV series, lots of different things. Some are spoiler free. New movies are spoiler free. Older movies, not so much. So you get like hours of additional content from that. You also get early access to Genuine Chit Chat episodes. You get exclusive afterthoughts where I tackle non-Star Wars comics or certain Star Wars books that I don't tackle on this show. So if you want to support the show and help fuel my comic addiction, especially with the IDW publishing stuff where you can't even check on Marvel Unlimited, I have to physically buy them. I mean, I buy all the comics anyway, but that's beside the point. If you want to help fund that, you want to keep the show going, you want to keep the gears turning, and you want loads of additional content, please consider checking out the link in the description. And just quickly, in addition to that, obviously, you please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Link to that is in the description. That has all of the Star Wars comics and canon episodes on there as well. And they're all in like playlists and stuff. So if you just want to hear about Dr. Aphra or Darth Vader or, you know, High Republic stuff, then they're all kind of organized as such. As well as episodes of Genuine Chit Chat are on there, including many that have got video versions to them as well. And then a few other bits and pieces of stuff that I've been involved with that I've managed to upload to YouTube as well. But if we can get the subscribers up past 100, that would mean the world to me because I can change the channel link for that as well. And then finally, the last things to add here is that after the High Republic Adventures, which is going to be next week, the week after that, I will potentially do a mini series. I'm currently waiting on a comic book delivery, which may not get to me until late or mid to late February. So it's going to just depend. Like, I'll have a bit more information probably next week, but it might just come to it where either I'll do another batch of the High Republic standard comics. I might do some of the other IDW comics like Tales from Vader's Castle or maybe Battle Tales that I've got. I may end up doing the book review release for that because I still need to do Race to Crashpoint Tower, which I finished reading. I need to do Out of the Shadows, and Claudia Gray's Fallen Star is going to be delivered to me soon as well. So I need to do some more book reviews. So I might end up doing that. But yeah, generally speaking, the months are going to be, apart from the book reviews, which will throw out of whack a little bit, generally it's going to be High Republic comics, Poe Dameron ongoing series, High Republic Adventures comics, mini series, which includes there's going to be Eye of the Storm, Trail of Shadows, Monster at Temple Peak, and there's a few other ones coming out soon as well. Plus, also with Crimson Rain, I'm probably going to do something along those lines where all the comics connect to that. But I may end up doing, you know, 1 month of just here's the last five issues of Vader, here's the last five issues of Aphra, whatever. So I'm going to, over the next few months, once especially I've finished the Poe Dameron series, which is going to be in a few months' time, then it will be even more freedom in the weeks to come to be able to have a play around with more of the current comics, as well as more book reviews and also some of the IDW stuff. But yeah, that's basically it for me, guys. Thank you as always for listening. I really appreciate you guys listening all the way to the end. Please rate on Spotify. You don't even have to write anything. You can just rate out of five if you're listening on there, which I would hugely appreciate for the Comics in Motion family. Please do the same for Genuine Chit Chat. Please check out some of my guest spots, which are links in the description to that on like Star Wars Timeline and lots of other places like that as well. Check out the Book of Boba Fett weekly discussion that we're doing, which is on YouTube. Some of them have got video, and then also on the feed of Comics in Motion, which is probably where you're listening to this now. And review on Apple Podcasts or Good Pods or anywhere like that. Share the show with your friends, talk about it, and give me any feedback as well. If there's any recommendations of comics you may want me to tackle in IDW publishing that I may not have yet, like, you know, I'm probably going to do Weapon of the Jedi at some point because I haven't read that yet. But let me know your thoughts, share, subscribe, all that sort of usual jazz. And thank you so much for listening, guys, as always, and may the Force be with you. The intro for Star Wars Comics and Canon is arranged by myself, Mike Burton, and the backing music was made by Eric Matias of soundimage.org.
You have just experienced host, creator, everything elser of Genuine Chit Chat, and also the host and creator of Star Wars Comics and Canon, found on the Comics in Motion podcast, Mike Burton.